Morning, everybody. David Morris, Finance Committee. I'm going to call the meeting to order at 10:02 a.m. Roll call in no particular order. Co-chair Tom Patton, we do not expect. Doug Delana.
Here.
Gaffney, let's go. Hello. Paul Hinch.
Here. Morning.
John Johnson.
There.
And Paul Weitz-Carver, we expect momentarily. I will note for the record when he arrives. We'll start with an approval of the September 17th committee meeting minutes. Is there a motion?
So moved.
By John, is there a second?
Second.
Second by Gaffney. Any comments, questions, requested changes, or discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor, please indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Any abstentions? Approved unanimously. We'll move on to public comment. We have an esteemed member of the public joining us today. Mr. Hammond, do you have any comments?
Do we have to listen?
How to operate the machine.
No news is good news.
All right. Well, thank you for joining, Ulysses. Seeing
no comment. Good morning, everyone. I was trying to. This is my first Zoom after September 5, so I'm having a little difficulty with the technology right now.
Blind solo. Cool. Thanks for joining us. Just hope everything is relaxing thus far.
Yes,
to the financial update, and Faye, why don't you walk us through the monthly report? I think Jill's going to put it up on the screen for the benefit of our virtual colleagues.
Thank you, Jill. Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Presenting the financials to September 30th, 2024. We have statement of revenue and expenditure. Revenue for the 3 months, $823,000. Just to note as well that this does not include the quarterly payment for the assessable revenue from Gateway, neither the pilotage commission for the periods.
Do we have the amount yet for the first quarter and we haven't received it, or we don't yet have
it? We don't have the amount as yet.
Okay.
Hoping to receive it by the end of the month.
Yeah. Should be a healthy one.
Yeah.
Very active.
So revenue, $823,000. Expenditure, $626,000. Total operating surplus before depreciation, $197,000. Mm-hmm. Depreciation for the period, $1.3 million. Operating loss after depreciation, $1.1 million. Non-operating revenue, $2.3 million. Non-operating expenditure, $69,000. Change in net position for non-operating, $2.2 million.
Just remind me again, Faye, why does the $2 million land in this fiscal year?
So the $2.2 million from capital contribution partner, it's a part of the $23.7 million received in 2024. However, a portion of that for work that was completed in 2025, fiscal year 2025. Was allocated. So the total of the 21.5 million at the 2.2 will equal to the 23.75 million received from NEO in 2024.
I don't know if the other folks on the Zoom are having this issue, but I'm seeing only the folder. I'm not seeing the actual document opened up on your screen.
Yeah, me too.
Over the this will be a great thing.
Doug, can you confirm?
Yep, now it's good.
Now it's good. Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
So if we had, we would have been carrying the 23.75, and if we hadn't spent any of that in, mm-hmm. on the project, it all would have shifted this year. So yes. It's all related to the portion of that. Did we do that? Not that it really matters, but like years ago,
yes,
we
was.
Did do that as yeah. well. Okay, so that was sitting in escrow, but unexpended, just continually shifted to the next year.
So not necessarily sitting in escrow. So it's not related to actual escrow funds.
It's related to whether it was billed.
Yes.
Right. Okay. Got it. Including including retainage.
Mm.
No. Okay. So retainage
is treated separately. It's
treated separately. Yeah. Okay. Got it.
The actual project cost.
Yeah. Okay.
I'm not sure everybody understood what you had to talk about.
Oh. It doesn't really matter. It just the important thing is the non-operating revenue lands in the year when it's used.
Correct. Any further questions on statement of revenue and expenditure?
I guess I will just note here. DOT reached out to Faye and Paul and I to discuss their appropriation as they enter into the next budget cycle. Mm-hmm. So we will be discussing that with them imminently.
Mm-hmm. So DOT is doing what again?
So the $400,000, they reach out as every year when they're preparing their budget for the General Assembly.
And they want to know if
they want to know.
They want our input. One more form.
Correct.
So can we get for more?
We can try. I would not,
Just remember, we've been 400 for how long?
We've been 400 for a long time, but I would imagine that they are also going to approach that conversation with an understanding of our broader revenue sources and how those have evolved since we started getting it. So,
but success means they should acknowledge it.
Yeah, government.
Wishful thinking. Moving on to page 2. Notes accompanying the statement of revenue and expenditure. It gives a breakdown of operational expenses for payroll, contractual services, and marketing and business development.
You know, our legal fees are just wonderful. Absolutely fantastic.
Any questions on page 2?
Yes, that's page.
Yeah.
And page 3, further notes, administrative and general expenses, other expenses, and depreciation. Any questions on page 3? Moving on to page 4, balance sheet. As of September 30, 2024, current assets total $27.6 million, mainly comprising of restricted cash of $21.4 million and cash and cash equivalents of $4.2 million. Non-current assets of $3.8 million and total assets of $336 million.
Pay up to the 4.278 million business cash. You're shopping that cash, you're worse off shopping less to get some income for it. Right?
So, 3 million out of that 4.2 is currently in SIP.
Is what?
In the short term investment fund.
Okay, good.
Great. So, there, cash.
Mm-hmm.
Position mm-hmm. has improved by almost 500,000.
Yes.
But on our P&L,
mm-hmm.
our operating surplus before depreciation is only 200.
Mm-hmm.
What? What would explain that difference?
So the payroll appropriation or part of that, where we have expenses incurred, but we have not paid our back cash.
Yeah, got it. We haven't yet trued up with DOT at the end of the year. Okay, got it.
And then your payables as well.
Yeah, right.
Liabilities and net position as of September 30th, $9 million. Non-current liabilities, $19.5 million. Total liabilities of $28.6 million. Net assets as of September 30th, $307.4 million. Corresponding to the change, net position as of the beginning of the period, $306 million. Change in net position of $1 million. Net position as of end of period, $307.4 million.
Any questions? Note for the record that Paul has dropped.
Any questions on page 4? Moving on to page 5, analysis of capital assets as of September 30th. Note 8 is blank until we receive the funding. 9, your leases, 10 leases, and 11, your capital assets. Any questions on page 5? Moving on to page 6.
On the track lease, NECR, could you explain that a little bit to me?
So that is the NECR lease held for the HD project that we pay over a period of 20 years. So what we have treated it as an asset because it's that long term.
Right.
It's this triangle. Got it. That, yeah, that we don't own, but we lease from them so that we can lease to a person.
Mm-hmm. And eventually that those trackages are going to be improved.
This is a horrible picture for the purposes of this conversation. There are no tracks there at all.
Took them all up.
Yeah, the tracks. They weren't even there when we started this project. Those tracks were gone forever ago. There are other tracks over here that come into the facility that we improved up to about here.
Okay, that's what I saw when I was up at the pier.
And they exist underground here, right. But this is the section that is usable to extend up to this same line. It's just there are tracks in there.
Did they leave the tracks in and just cover them? I thought they took the tracks up, but there's a way to restore them, I think.
No, they're covered. There's a portion that is covered. There's a portion that we replaced, and then there's a portion that were taken out that we didn't need and the railroad didn't need.
So that's on our property,
right?
Not on the area. The area that we leased from them had nothing on it. Okay. It's adjacent to the line, but we don't lease the section that has the actual freight line on it. The through line. We lease everything.
Can we try to buy it?
Did.
He said, no, I'd rather have your lease.
Yeah. Yeah.
It was hard to get a lease out of them.
It was hard to get a lease. And, you know, the lease is only 12 years, actually. It was the 2-year construction period and then the 10-year concurrent with the first term of our lease with Ørsted. Listen, you know, we've talked about this in the past. If Ørsted exercises their 7-year extension, we're going to be a little bit beholden to CN and whether or not, you know, what they're going to charge us for the continued use of that property for the 7-year extension period.
Do they use those tracks?
Oh, so the tracks, like these tracks?
Yeah, are the ones that NECR has.
Yeah,
they do use them?
They can use them for, like, if they have a project going on, they can have rail cars that are just sitting idle.
Yeah.
position there. Okay.
Yeah, I think Mohawk, when they got their grant, they're going to put spurs in to be able to use
it. Yes, they are. You're right. Yeah. Yeah, there was a Tiger grant, which is was an infrastructure grant that improved the line.
Mohawk's these guys up there.
Yep, from like that point north. I think if I understand correctly, these bridges are still a constraint. So the line was improved like from here up to like Putnam.
Yeah, the junction
area.
CSX.
But this is the Northeast Corridor, and those bridges were not touched.
Well, you can't.
You can, just not.
You're limited stack. In the size of the container. Correct. You can't double stack the containers.
Correct. Correct. I think the rest of the line can accommodate double stack now after the Tiger project.
They have them.
But there is still a pinch point between the port and the rest of the line, which, is the Amtrak corridor. Which is
Is there access to this from the Amtrak corridor? From the Northeast Corridor to these tracks.
This is the Northeast Corridor, and this is where the freight line starts and spurs off of the Northeast Corridor. Now, theoretically, from our site, you would have to go up to buy Mohawk, back down. And then you be on, but it's not.
So there was a crazy. When Connecticut did their rail study, and they figured they tried to determine which side of the Thames you wanted to, put rail service up to Norwich.
Passenger.
They put it on that side, which, if you were thinking about it, it helps the casino.
Correct.
It doesn't really help Electric Boat on the other side where all the workers are.
Correct.
Any other questions on page 5? And moving on to the cash flow, net cash from operating activities, 19,000. Cash flows from capital and related financial activities, an outflow of 582,000. Cash flow from investing activities, 138,000. Net change in cash and cash equivalents, 432,000, an outflow. And cash and cash equivalents as of September 30th, 25.7 million.
So is this, I guess two questions here on the interest.
Mm-hmm.
The distinction between NEO and Ørsted, is that just interest that was earned prior to them changing their name versus?
Right. So with NEO, Ørsted would receive that portion of the interest since the transfer was done, which is utility 4000 was, I think, the 30th of August. And all the funding that NEO had invested prior to that generated the 21,000. That is for that period.
Right. Do we have to make that distinction?
Yes.
We do?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Even though they're like Ørsted Wind Power is like the successor of NEO?
It's treated separately.
Interesting.
And this, yeah.
Okay. And our interest on investments, is that just the escrow or is that the escrow and STIF?
That's the escrow and STIF. Yeah.
Together.
Together.
Okay.
And so our bank of record is still the same, Webster?
Yes, it is.
Okay, we're still
the... For the escrow.
For the escrow.
For the escrow.
In our operating account?
So the operating account is in transition now. We have opened the account, and that is with Centerville Bank. And moving on to page 7. Analysis of project balances as of 30th of September is a total of 16.9 million. And the HDA on page 8 encumbered cost to date, $274.7 million. Total available fund, total funding, $311.3 million. And the interest on the HDA escrow, $2 million. Total encumbered and projected soft cost, $36.5 million. Encumbered GMP cost, $274.7 million. Total cost, $311.3 million. Remaining funding, $2 million.
So that's where we got lots of fun.
Can you just for me, because I know this is going to come up. So we spent $274 million. So at that
hard cost.
Hard cost. We have funding of $311 million. Mm-hmm. So
I would say encumbered rather than spent.
I'm not going to say that, yes.
Up to 274, some of it has not yet been billed, some of it is retainage, but that's the total amount contracted with Kiewit.
Mm-hmm. So what's the 311, the difference between 311 and 274?
That's the soft cost.
That's AECOM, that's Moffitt and Nickel, that's
legal fees,
NECR rent. That's legal fees, that's
insurance.
Mitigation, offsite mitigation for DEEP, that's offsite 36. Mitigation for Army Corps.
So
plus.
For Eric, right? So the South Wall, which we just sent them a letter and told them, hey, you need to fix this. You know, so there are two options on the table, right? It's the option is now they fix it for a small amount or they wait, and then there's legal action and have to fix it at a bigger amount. But that even the smaller amount is like, what is it, 7-8 million? But that's they have to pay that, not us.
Well, in the way the letter was drafted, it directs Kiewit to remedy the situation there and then use the verbiage in the contract for the resolution, right? So they want them to fix it and then deal with the aftermath afterwards.
Yeah.
But Kiewit would do that is what AECOM is looking at. Correct.
Mm-hmm. Is there anything else that would I'm just thinking out loud because we have $2 million. Right. So anytime we have a conversation with anybody on the project, I'm always cognizant of additional costs.
For sure.
But I can't think of anything so far.
No, because the bollard piece is going to be very small. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's just a testing.
In
the extensions are already paid for. It would just be the only piece that could come up is who, you know, in 2 years from now when that work is done, who installs them likely will not be here.
Right.
It would likely be an outside contractor. So that would be the only piece I'm not certain on how that would work, the funding wise, potentially.
So the only thing that is the South Wall thing, just to
yep.
put that up.
Last
right.
Which sounds like it wouldn't be resolved for, I don't know, you know, if there's an opening, like,
Between projects,
so it wouldn't be until 20, in the, maybe 27, right, beginning of 27.
Yeah, after summer.
Just trying to hedge our conversational pieces with the people who want to.
So, follow up with that question, Paul, the $2 million. Does any of that belong to our partners, or SED and the resource? Or is that all?
No, that's all.
Is that
our portion of the interest?
Okay,
that is our money, unencumbered to do with what we want.
The bottom line number was $2,071,000.
Yes. So yeah, I think technically, they would have to consent to the use of the
I would
just the 42,000. The difference between the 2,029,000 and the 2,071,000.
Well,
so okay. The delta there, the 42,000,
right?
That is subject to the HDA, and so they would have any disbursement of those 42,000 from escrow would go through the written direction process where they have to approve. The 2,029,000 does not require any approvals beyond our internal process and our board.
Okay.
So one of the things that Eric and I have been bringing up is preventive maintenance.
Yes.
Did you ever ask a question about cathodic protection?
I haven't tomorrow. He's still preoccupied.
Because that's the one thing that never comes up, right? So we had all these coil rods.
Yes.
They're, you know, on the base, you know, we would have routine diver inspections of all the transition joints and everything like that. So when I asked the question, you know, finally they're starting to think about it, but, you know, we really need to think about how we pay for that kind of stuff.
Right, if we create like a capital reserve.
Because when you're looking at Fort Trumbull on Pier 7, where no maintenance has been done, and now we're looking at a price tag of $41 million.
There you go. Which has been a fault for us for a long time. And, not just in the state and cities.
Yeah, no, we definitely want to maintain this asset for sure.
There's no excuse for it.
There are some maintenance responsibilities that fall to Gateway. Mm-hmm. And there would be some.
They don't seem to be too. When we mention that to them, they don't really.
It's different. I mean, I think they're. I don't know exactly where we draw that line, and I don't know how the concession agreement was actually even before my time. So I'm not as facile with that as I am with the HDA, but, you know, listen, I think it's reasonable. There would be some things related to the wear and tear and the ongoing operations of the surface that they would be responsible for. And then there are other things that are core infrastructure that they wouldn't be.
But I think Paul's point is, let's discuss it now.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
I think it's a good thing to have an ongoing, rather than we get to the point where it has to be maintained
for sure.
And
there should be like a 10-20 year maintenance schedule and a division of responsibilities between us and them.
Absolutely.
And it would likely be a phased type of, you know, inspection routine, right? Being so new at this point, you're not going to need a dive team down there every 12 months.
Right.
You know, if maybe 2 or 3 years right now, we look at a large scale dive, and then maybe it jumps to, you know, every 2 years. So.
Absolutely. A good conversation. Begin.
Any other questions or comments on the monthly report? All right, with that, move on to the quarterly report for the Office of Fiscal Analysis. You've all seen this every quarter. Okay, maybe just walk us quickly through what we see here.
Funding for general operations. Start of the period, 3.8. Change in the period, 500,000 roughly, and funding available, 4.2 million. DOT cooperation, funds received for the period, 200,000, expenditure for the period, 204,000, funding available, 0. Four bond projects, 16.9 million at the start of the period, expenditure for the period, 74,000. Funding available, 16.9 million. New London State Fair project. Funding allocated for that period, which is the interest. Net change to 313.3 million for funding. And total encumbered costs, or total costs, 311.3 million. Funding available, 2 million. That will reconcile to what you saw on the HDA summary.
Any discussion on that before I entertain a motion? All right, is there a motion to recommend the board adopt this report for submission?
So moved.
Second.
John, second.
Second.
Paul. Any comments or discussion?
You can do Paul.
Okay, all those in favor, please indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? Okay. Next is the credit card use policy, and Faye, maybe you can walk us through this, just in case folks haven't had a chance to review it in detail.
Why don't we talk about this? Right?
Yeah,
sure. So in advancing and being able to purchase items online, the credit card is vital.
I will note as an anecdote, for example, Eric and I are going to the American Association of Port Authorities conference. We had to reserve our hotel rooms online with our personal credit cards, which we could have paid for ourselves, sought reimbursement months later, but the authority is ultimately going to pay for it. Instead, we have had to call the hotels, receive the paperwork so that we can pay by check, send the check. It's a pain, right? But we want to make sure that the use is limited.
Are we writing these rules, or are these rules from somebody else?
No, we have prepared these rules.
This is our document.
Yes, this is our document.
You didn't plagiarize from anybody?
No, I did not.
It would be okay.
I took our situation into account, even our IT subscriptions, our IT providers paying for these, and that is not part of this. So
therefore, these are easy to read and understand.
Yes. So if you see the first item, purpose, it's mainly for online subscriptions, online purchases not supported by any other form of payment, and online booking of pre-approved business expenses, such as what David would have mentioned, for lodging purposes.
But how does the employee manual for reimbursement of expenses when their own travels, we submit that separately for meals?
Yes, so the authorized, there will be one authorized cardholder, which will be the executive director when one comes on board. However, the card will remain on the premises of GCPE. It will not be removed from the premises. And as stated, it's strictly for these items stated. The card will be locked and secured in a safe, to which the key for the safe will be kept by one person, and the cabinet that is maintained in will be kept by someone else.
Like a nuclear sign?
Yeah. Yeah. So there are a lot of restrictions and limitations on the card. However, for functionality and for operations, I think it will be useful.
You're probably writing yours, right? For your quasi?
Yeah, we haven't done credit card yet.
Well, you can now.
Most have them. I think this is far more restrictive than typical, and that is probably appropriate given our past. I think it'd be pretty hard.
Appropriate whether we got good past or
not. Yeah. I mean, I think having it on site for use for appropriate and approved online purchases is makes a lot of sense.
So I wanted to ask, do we foresee, and I can't think of any situations, but what the policy doesn't have is an allowance for emergency purchases. And I can't really foresee what they might be, because we're not actually operating, for example, the pier. But I'm just wondering if that was thought about and whether that's something we need in the policy.
So our purchasing policy does have an allowance for that, but we would need something in here to say, and it could be as simple as emergency purchases pursued in accordance with the authority's purchasing manual.
I'm trying to think, Doug, of what you may be referencing as emergency excellence.
Well, I honestly, I can't think of a, I don't know today, but that's kind of sometimes the nature of emergency is you don't foresee them. And if we have it covered in our purchasing policy, when you do have an emergency, you may not have the time, even though you have the authorization under the purchasing policy, to use whatever other forms of payment. You know, it might take longer to arrange the payment. If so, I'm just trying to think about what those situations might be, and not knowing what they might be, I wouldn't want us to be in a situation where, yes, we have authority under the purchasing policy, but we don't have the ability to do it with speed.
Doesn't like my camera, honestly. Not needed. I don't think it's needed right now.
I think that will open up the can that we're trying to.
Okay. All right, Doug, you okay keeping it more restrictive?
I mean, I guess if we get in a situation like that, we can kind of do a quick emergency meeting and have the board authorize it, because it's the board's policy. And so the board, you know, could do an emergency meeting, vote to authorize it, if that's the only way we have to pay at that time.
Yeah.
What's the limit on the credit card?
So that limit has not been set as yet. That will be set between
$1 million.
Sounds good to me, Paul.
Big spender.
Any other questions?
Do we need a bonus?
Yeah.
Do you want to vote one by one?
Yeah, we should do them separately. Yeah. Okay, is there a motion to approve the credit card use policy? Moved by John, is there a second?
Second.
Any further discussion, comments, or questions? Okay, all those in favor, please indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Any abstentions? Okay. Automated clearing house policy.
So this policy allows for faster processing, and due to our remote situation now, it will allow the authorized signers to approve payments without having to physically come into office and sign a check.
And we have a system.
We have created a system whereby we have designated persons to post transactions and designated persons to approve transactions.
Have you done ACHs before?
Yes, not at CPE, but yes.
Not under this policy, but you've done ACHs, right?
Yes,
So it basically just digitizes the current process, where with checks it doesn't change. There's still the same authorization. There's still the same thresholds for second signature. It just allows for that process in its entirety to be done digitally, remotely. Why don't we put this in place when I was FedExing checks back and forth?
Weren't you the chairman?
Yeah,
to justify that big salary.
Well, I can say, as someone who, you know, operates in the current system, yeah, it'll be a lot easier as long as the same controls are in place. I mean, I think it's pretty standard operating
procedure. Yeah. It's standard in the business industry, certainly, yeah.
I mean, even the state. Well, doesn't this have a state, basically?
That's yeah. Yeah. Yeah, you almost have to have it these days, yeah.
It's amazing we haven't had it up until now, no?
And this is not something that we stripped out, I don't think, in 19 or 20. I don't think this is something we ever had.
No, it's something I was not
believing. Yeah, we never had it.
I think because we didn't write, yeah, I mean, it was more the project related, but we didn't write, you know, all ongoing expenses. We didn't have, we were just getting started and such, but I think it's maybe a little overdue, but it's probably good timing at this point.
Yeah. Well, all right. I will entertain a motion to approve.
So moved
by John. Is there a second?
Second
by Paul Hinch. Any further comments, questions, or discussion?
Hey, Dirk.
Let me just take a vote on there. Is it on this or?
Nope.
Okay. All those in favor, please indicate by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Any abstentions? Great.
So during the board meeting, there's a resolution for these.
Oh, these are, yeah, sorry. Those yeah. Yeah, I'm sorry. Well, both of those actually were a resolution to recommend
Recommend approval. So when it comes to that, I'll have either you or David, you can explain it, and then I'll read the resolution.
Yeah, perfect. Cool. Okay. Old business. I would just note, I think many of you are aware, but I would just acknowledge the passing of Veronica Calvert, who was our finance administrator during a lot of our transition period during COVID, working predominantly remotely. But we have sent, we discussed it amongst staff, we have sent a donation to the preferred recipient organization. And
how old was it?
I don't. But she did a lot for the authority.
71, thank you.
In an important transition time. Mm-hmm. I'll make sure we acknowledge that on the record. Any other old business? Okay, any new business?
I have a executive director hire, you know, so they're depending on which candidate we go with, they'll be moving expenses and possible interim lodging. With the absence of an executive director, is a there a threshold we want to set? If we go that route, given that you don't have an executive director, you're not paying salary, it would be good to use those funds
for sure.
As the so if you could get that information that way. If we have to negotiate.
Yeah, of the amount of
how long are you looking to we'll put them up for?
Oh, I don't know. But
Now you're just looking for the number.
Looking for a number.
If the person starts on November 1st, or if they start on December 1st, or if they just start on January 1st, what funding available would be our potential upper end.
What do you recommend?
Recommend? I mean,
dollar sets.
I don't have any
30, 40,
idea what 50, you know. Because there's also going to be a moving expense.
Yeah, sure.
So I think we can offset a lot of that because we're not paying an executive director right now.
Yeah. On the moving expense, I mean, I would just take guidance from Jack and standard practice is, because I have no idea what
it... Oh, sorry, David. Go.
No,
didn't mean to interrupt you mid-sentence.
No, go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, because it's kind of hard to figure out, it may depend on the candidate and the location and very, you know, candidate specific circumstances. We're probably in a position where we could negotiate those items and have time to come back to the board and just say, we can agree contingent upon approval of hiring
saying, Doug, is because we're not paying an executive director since September all the way probably through December, I imagine, right?
Yeah.
There is a number there that we would know about, and then we don't have to use that in negotiation, but it would be
the package would ultimately come to the board as part of the larger employment contract.
you're just looking to convey to the recruitment firm kind of what the upper limit is of what we might have to.
Or just tell them this is what we have to play with because we have an executive director.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know what that number is if you add up all those months of salary and other expenses, but we just don't want them necessarily telegraph that it's up
right.
What that upper limit is, but I don't think do that. He's got some ideas of what it would cost for particular candidates.
Yeah, we've given up probably a high end number. We've been given that number already. So by Jack.
Yeah, got it. I mean, the lag funds with salary benefits probably about $30,000 a month. Mm-hmm.
And I think at the end of the day, Jack is going to do.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, we'll talk. We'll be talking to Jack.
We do need to factor in their fee too.
Right.
I mean, that's a different place in the budget, but that's as a percentage of.
Yeah, I think in 25%.
Yeah,
25.
Yeah. Yeah. There's just the salary. 25%.
25% of the salary.
Okay, so we know what that number is then. Okay.
Right. With that, I'll let you close and then I can ask some other questions.
Cool. All right. Anything else anyone wants to bring up before we adjourn? All right. Motion to adjourn.
We'll move.
John, second. Yeah. Meeting adjourned at 10:48.